Y'all comfortable? Y'all? Little Southern Oregon draw for you. Most of you know that, maybe not all of you, some of you know, that for a while I was really praying for a city, a place to go to start a church like this, start a fellowship. I never thought it would be Grants Pass. And so I would pray, and I traveled a lot at that time. I would look, and I was constantly praying and asking, Lord, this is what I feel I'm to do. I'm to go start a church somewhere, be a pastor. And my wife, well, she would humor me. She'd say, okay, if we have to move, then a couple conditions. It needs to be warmer. We're not moving anywhere colder. It has to be somewhere that's warmer than here, minimally. Secondly, she said it has to be somewhere that's closer to like a major city. Somewhere, you know, major, yeah. And then thirdly, she said, somewhere where we can still visit the family back here in Grants Pass. And so those were her conditions. And about 3 years ago, I got a phone call from a pastor friend of mine. His name is Rick Cohen. Some of you know him. He's pastoring in upstate New York. And he gives me a call and says, Matt, there's a great opportunity for you. There's a church that is wide open. It's only 30 people or so, but it's a great opportunity. The pastor, he's been there for 10 years. He's decided God's calling him to come down and join with me here. And you can come. You can pastor this church. And I said, wow, that sounds awesome. Where is it? And he said, it's in Burlington, Vermont. Now that's Burlington, Vermont. On the Canadian border. I was bursting with joy. Lord, thank you. My prayers are being answered. Praise the Lord. And so I told my wife. I said, sweetie, there's this great opportunity. She said, well, is it warmer? No. I said, it's so cold there, the politicians keep their hands in their own pockets. That's how cold it is. She said, is it close to a major city? No. Are we going to be able to visit our family? It's in Vermont. I was bursting with joy. She burst into tears. Lord, you've answered my prayers. But then two days later, probably saved my marriage, Rick Cohen called back and he said, oh, I'm sorry to inform you, Matt. One of the elders from within the church has stepped up and decided to begin to pastor that church. So the door has closed. I'll tell you, I was upset. Lord, you missed your opportunity. Lord, you're late. Come on. What are you doing? Lord, why are you delaying? I've been praying about this for so long. Why would you delay? Well, I'll tell you what. He delayed to do more. Now that I'm here, now that I'm with this congregation, I just marvel. Lord, Lord. I get to come here. I get to pastor Edgewater Christian Fellowship. I get to hang out with you guys, as I was telling the Wednesday night crowd. This job here as pastor of this church is the best job I've ever had in my life. I love it. I feel like I am in my lane, doing what I was created to do. The best job I've ever had. Not the easiest job. No way. It's the toughest job I've ever had, to be quite honest with you. I put more time into this job than just about any other job I've had. But it's rich, it's full, it's abundant. I love it. It's the best job I've ever had. And I think I could be in Burlington, Vermont, freezing with a couple other families, swapping stories every Sunday about getting stuck in the snow. That could be what I'm doing. But instead, wow, Lord, I get to be here. You delayed in my life to do so much more. And in John chapter 11, we see the same delaying take place. Open with me, if you would, to John chapter 11. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus, verse 5, loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Then over to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, you're late. Lord, you're late. But then Jesus, verse 23, said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And then in verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. This family that loved Jesus and Jesus loved them, twice it says that, sends word to him, Jesus, Lazarus, the guy that you love, is sick. And then verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and loved Mary and loved Lazarus. And verse 6, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still. That doesn't sound like the normal response when you hear somebody's sick. That doesn't sound normal to me. This guy that you love, this man that you care for, he's sick. So Jesus said, all right, I'm going to wait 2 days. I'm going to delay. I would think if Jesus loved this guy, he would say, get me a horse. Saddle me a horse. I'm headed out. I got to go help Lazarus. He's sick. I got to help Lazarus. I got to go take care of him. Hail a taxi. We're headed to Bethany. My buddy, the guy I love, is sick. But Jesus doesn't do that. He stayed in the same place 2 more days. Why? Because Jesus wanted to do more. He delayed to do more. They wanted Lazarus to be healed. Jesus wanted Lazarus to be resurrected. They wanted their brother to be healthy. Jesus wanted the Father to be honored. Jesus wanted to do more, and so he delayed. He delayed. He abode in the same place 2 more days. And we can pray, Lord, I want to go start a church. Delay. We make our requests. Delay. And we wonder, why, Lord? Why are you delaying? Why don't you answer these prayers? Why are you staying for 2 days or 2 months or 2 years? Why have you delayed? I would suggest to you, oftentimes, God delays to do more. We want a healing. He wants a resurrection. He wants to do more. Wait a second, Matt. You're saying Jesus did more, but not really. He didn't really do more. Whether he healed him or resurrected him, it came to the same end. Lazarus was just back to normal. He didn't do any more for Lazarus. Lazarus, he was exactly the same. Whether Jesus came to him and healed him of the sickness or whether he resurrected him after 4 days, the end result was the same. It's 6 of 1, a half dozen of the other. What do you mean Jesus delayed to do more? What are you talking about? Well, in this passage, I believe we see a couple of ways that Jesus did more. A couple of ways that because he delayed, more was done. And I believe they have application to our lives individually. When you feel like God's delaying, I've prayed about these things. I've asked the Lord, made my request, and there hasn't been action. He's abode in the same place for 2 days. He's waiting. There are some keys, I believe, in this chapter that tell us, indicate us why God delays. And why? Because he wants to do more. Check it out with me. Number one, why God delays. Number one, why does God delay to do more? Specifically, he wants a superior witness from Lazarus. He wants a, number one, superior witness from Lazarus. In chapter 12, verse 9 through 11, there Lazarus and Jesus are having dinner. And it says, many people came out to see Lazarus, the one that had been raised from the dead. And it says, many people believed in Jesus Christ because they saw Lazarus. Nothing he said, nothing he did. Just simply the testimony of his life, that he was alive, was enough to make people believe in Jesus. Jesus got a superior witness from Lazarus because he delayed. If he had just healed him, wouldn't have been that great. 4 days in the grave, starting to decompose and stink. Wow, we got to check this out. We're going to go look at Lazarus. Look at his changed life. Look at the resurrection that took place there. And because they saw it, they believed. Now let's say, hypothetically, Jesus did get on a horse and did rush up to Bethany before Lazarus died and healed Lazarus from the sickness. Didn't wait for him to die and go into the grave. Let's say he healed him instead of resurrected him. You know what would happen? There'd be those people that would say, well, you know, Lazarus was actually getting better. He wasn't that bad. He was starting to sleep a little better. He was kind of on his way back. Jesus just kind of helped them a little bit to get better. Or there'd be those that say, and it wasn't Jesus at all. It was me. See, I was down in Botswana, and I found this herbal remedy made from gudugubu root, and I gave it to him. And that's what healed him. It was the herbs. It was those, you know. It was me. I did it. It's amazing to me how often we will rationalize and try to explain away God's work in our lives. Well, you know, that wasn't really a miracle. That God didn't really do that. It was something else. We rationalize, like the guy that was on the roof, fixing a roof, steep roof, adjusting his tool belt, and it slipped and fell off, and he went to grab it, and he slipped too, and he's sliding down the roof to a very painful end. When he cries, "Lord, help me!" And just as he said that, this nail snagged his pant leg and stopped him. And he said, "Forget it, God, the nail helped me." We do that. "Oh, I got it, Lord. No, it's all fixed now." We rationalize away and explain away God's work. So Jesus here delayed. "I'm going to delay so long that the corpse is going to be buried. It's going to start to stink," as this chapter says. "It's going to be in the decay process. There's no way they're going to say, well, maybe he was just sleeping in there. Or maybe he was just, a little tired." No, he's going to be dead as a doornail, and I'm going to resurrect him. I'm going to delay so that I'll get a superior witness. I think about this church right here. When I came to this place, came to the principal, Peter Malik, the day I heard that we are starting this fellowship, the day I heard that the following Sunday we were going to have services, I came here and I talked to the principal. I said, "Is it possible to use this gym right here?" And he said, "Well, you know, it might be possible. You can fill out an application and I'll talk to Three Rivers School District and we'll kind of check it out." And he said, "When do you need it by?" And I said, "I need it next Sunday." The first words out of his mouth were, "That's impossible. That's impossible. There's no way. The application, it's a process. We have to review it. We have to check it out. Three Rivers School District, you know, it's red tape. You got to go through all that kind of stuff. I have to schedule people in here, janitors, people to open the door. I can't schedule them in 1 week. That's impossible." Well, guess what? October 9th, 2005, we met right here. It's impossible. Oh, that's what God likes. And I think sometimes God will delay to such a point that things get so bad in a way. There's so much decay. There's so much death. You just say, "Lord, unless you work, unless you intervene, nothing's going to happen. Unless you're here, unless you do something, this situation is impossible." I think God waits at times so that we can't rationalize away, can't make excuses for his work. He says, "I want a superior witness from you. I want a superior witness. When people see it, they'll know God had to do a miracle there." I think of Gideon. Gideon was told by God, "There's the Midianites. They have an army of 135,000 people. They're coming to destroy Israel. You get an army together." So Gideon goes out there and rallies the troops and gets people encouraged. "Yeah, come on." Gets an army of 33,000 people. Well, 4-1 odds. That's pretty tough, God, you know. God says, "Nope. Too easy. If you win the battle, people will say it's because of the army. Ask the army. If anyone's afraid, and if they're afraid, tell them to go home." Oh, Gideon must have thought, "No one's going to say they're afraid. These are fighting men. Anyone afraid here?" 22,000 people left. What? Oh, no. 13-1 odds. Okay, this is a little bit worse. Okay, Lord. All right. God says, "They'll still say it's the army. They'll still say it's the army. Go take the people and watch them drink water. Watch them drink water. Those people that lean down and put their lips in the water and drink the water like that, send them home. The guys that go down there and scoop up the water and bring it up to their mouth, they're part of the army." And so Gideon does that. Interesting to listen to and hear what commentators say on that. Why would God choose the ones that scooped up the water to drink it rather than put their face down? Some commentators say it's because the ones that were scooping the water, they were spiritually alert. They never put their face down. They were alert, looking out for the enemy. That's the ones God would choose. I like another commentator, what he says. No, that's not the reason why. The young, strong guys, they could lean down and drink water. But the old fat guys, they had to kind of lean over and, you know. God chose the old fat guys. Why? He wanted the glory. "I'm going to make this situation so impossible. Your army's going to not number 33,000, not 10,000, but 300 against 135,000, so that when you win, you'll know it's me." Why does God delay in our lives at times? Because we'll explain it away. "Oh, it was gudugubu root. Oh, it was the nail." No, it's God. It's God, and he'll delay in my life, in your life, so that we absolutely know he worked. We absolutely know if it wasn't for him, I would have been done. If it wasn't for him intervening here, there's no way I would have survived. That's why he delays at times. It gives him a superior witness. And when you finally come to the place, Lord, unless you do something, it's over. He says, perfect. Now I'll get the glory, and you're going to have a superior witness to those that are around. Number one, reason number one why God delays at times in our prayers, a superior witness. Reason number two. Reason number two that God will delay to do more. Number two, so that the secrets of Jesus Christ will be revealed. The secrets of Jesus Christ will be revealed. Jesus delayed, but check out what happens in verses 25 and 26. He delays. He comes there 2 days late. Martha says, you're late. What are you late for? And then Jesus says this to her, reveals something to her, a secret about his character, about his identity in verses 25 and 26. He says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? On the resurrection, on the life, that would have never been revealed. That secret that Jesus is not only the resurrection, our future, but our life presently would have never been revealed if Jesus hadn't delayed. Sometimes the delays are so that we will get a deeper, fuller, richer understanding of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's kind of like last year I was looking for a car. I was driving out to Applegate, which about six times a week, and I was driving this big F-250 Super Duty four-wheel drive diesel truck. Now diesel's expensive, and so it was adding up about 360 miles a week. So I decided I got to find a little rice burner, some little vehicle that gets good gas mileage. So I started looking around. And I looked online, and there was this car, this Honda Accord for sale up in Salem. Great deal. And I thought, what a blessing, Lord. I called up the guy. I said, I'm from Grants Pass, and I'm thinking about driving up there today, but I want to make sure that this is a good car for me, the right car for me. And the guy said, okay, no problem. Well, ask me some questions. And so I said, well, you know, how does it run? He goes, oh, runs perfect. Not a problem at all. Never had an issue with this car. It runs great. Wow. How does it look? Oh, it's a great looking car. It's got these six-way leather seats. So comfortable. Six-way leather seats. CD player, AC. Oh, cool. And I said, well, why are you selling it? Oh, my family, we had another baby, and the car's too small. Well, that seems like a good reason. So, well, you're like $1,000 cheaper than everyone else. Why? And he said, well, I just got to get rid of it as soon as possible. Okay. So do you take a check? No. I got to have cash. No problem. So I went, and it was a problem because that day was Martin Luther King Day. So I couldn't get to the bank. So I had to go take a cash advance on a credit card and worry about that whole thing. I had this big wad of cash. Then I had to figure out how to get another person to go with me to drive the car back if I bought it. Well, no one was available. So my wife had to go with me. So we had to find a babysitter. So after we get all that done, we get on the road, we get it up there. I drive up there, it's nighttime. We meet him at this Taco Bell, and he pulls in this Honda Accord. And I jump out, and the first thing I notice is the hood is a little bit lower than that front fender, you know? And I'm looking at that, and I thought, he didn't tell me that. And then I asked, do you mind if I drive it? Yeah, no problem. Take it for a drive. I hop in it. And I'm starting to drive. And I notice that, yeah, it's a six-way leather seat. But the only problem is it doesn't face forward. It kind of faces out the door. And I thought, I better adjust this seat, sweetie. So I pull over. And I start trying to adjust the seat, pushing the knobs and buttons. But all the seat does is make this whirling sound. And it kind of snaps and twists. And moves like one of those cheap carnival rides, you know? It doesn't actually adjust, it just kind of goes, duke, duke. And I thought, he didn't tell me this. I put it in reverse to pull out of the parking spot, and it starts making this clattering noise when I put it in reverse. And I thought, he didn't tell me this. Then, right when I start reversing, this light starts flashing on the dash at me. I'm thinking, what is that light for? Well, he had one of those little pocket manuals in the glove box, so I open it up and I look. It says, your airbag system is malfunctioning. And I thought, he didn't tell me this. And I drove back to him, and I got out of the car, and I, as civilly as I could, explained to him these things that I've noticed that he forgot to tell me before my 3-hour trip up there. And then I said, has this car been in a wreck? And he looks at me and goes, oh, yes, it's a wrecked title. And I thought, you didn't tell me that. And I got so angry. I can understand why Mike Tyson would bite someone's ear off. And he must have seen something in me, because he just turned around, got in the car, and drove off. And I drove home, and I wondered to myself, Lord, why? Why did I have to take this 6-hour trip? You know the reason why? The reason why is this. I'd been at Applegate as a pastor for about 4 months. I was busy, and I hadn't really taken time to talk with my wife. I hadn't spent time with her. I hadn't shared what was going on in my life, on my heart with her, in a way that was relevant and thorough. I've got kids. When we drive, it's got to go to the bathroom. I need something to eat. I need something to drink. When are we going to get there? You know, it's constant. You can't talk. And so God said this, I believe, Matt, I need you to talk to your wife. So I'm going to get you in a car with her alone for 6 hours. And I count those 6 hours as some of the best hours I spent in 2005. Getting reacquainted with my wife, talking with her, sharing with her about what was going on at Applegate in my life, what God was directing me. It was huge. God said, the only way I can do that, Matt, is to put you in a car and get you with your wife for 6 hours. And I think sometimes God says the same things to us. The only way you're going to get to know me, the only way you're going to get to know me is if I delay a little bit. Lord, I didn't get the car yet. I'm looking for a car. Yeah, it's delayed. You're going to have to wait a little bit. But I want you to get to know your wife better. I want you to get reacquainted with your wife. And I believe at times the delay is for us to pray. The delay is, Lord, I've been praying about this for a couple weeks, for a couple months, a couple years. Jesus says, perfect. Come back tomorrow. Let's meet again. Because you're getting to know me. You're getting reacquainted with me. And the only way I can do that, kind of like with me, is to get you alone for a little while, is to delay so that you will know me, so that I can reveal secrets to you, that I am the resurrection. I've taken care of your future, that I am the life presently, everything you need right now. That's why. The delay is so that God can reveal secrets to you. The delay is to pray. That's selfish, Matt. God would be that selfish to delay things and not listen to me? That seems so selfish. Well, here's the deal. Our prayers are important. The Bible over and over and again says that the Lord's ear is open to the cries of the righteous. Our prayers are important. But what's more important to God is this, for us to know him. Because ultimately, that is what is going to satisfy. Yeah, our prayer request for this item or that issue or that problem, it's important, but God says what is ultimately going to satisfy you and make you happy is not that answer or that question, but it's me. He says, I am the life. Not I'll tell you about the life, not I'll explain the life to you, not I'll give you the life. I am the life. And you're going to find ultimate satisfaction in knowing me. And getting secrets of my life revealed to you. So meet me again tomorrow. The delay is so that we'll pray and that the secrets of Jesus Christ will be revealed to you and to me. Paul found this out. Paul in Acts chapter 9 gets saved there on the road to Damascus. Bright light falls to the ground. He's on fire, goes to the city of Damascus and starts to preach the word. Just preach. He's on fire. Lord, I'm ready for ministry. I've memorized the first five books of the Bible. I've been to the school of Gamaliel. I'm ready. And so he starts to preach there in Damascus, and nobody listens. In fact, they want to kill him. So dangerous was it that he had to be let over the wall in a basket. I thought I was ready, Lord. You're delaying. Why? Well, Galatians chapter 1 tells us, he then went out into the desert of Arabia for somewhere between 2 and 3 years and spent time with Jesus, Jesus himself. Revelation from Jesus that would impact the rest of his ministry. Delayed so that he would pray so that the secrets of Jesus Christ would be revealed to him. If there are issues that you've been praying about and you feel like God is delaying you, do not give up. Persevere in prayer. Keep praying. Men ought always to pray, the Bible says. Pray continually, the Bible says. Keep talking with the Lord. And what you'll find is, yeah, your prayers are important, but what you'll find is, man, I'm getting to know Jesus better. Secrets are being revealed to me of Jesus Christ, and I'm finding satisfaction in that. Why are there delays? Because God, Jesus wants to do more. Number one, a superior witness in your life. Number two, to have the secrets of Jesus revealed to you. And number three, to strengthen the disciples. Strengthen the disciples, those that are around us, those that are watching us. Look at verse 15. Strengthening the disciples. Actually, start in verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad, verse 15, for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. It's one of my favorite verses in the book of John. These disciples had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. This is almost the end of his public ministry. They had seen miracles and healings and multiplication of bread, all these great signs, wonderful signs. They had hung out with the creator of the universe. They'd been able to ask him questions and receive answers that were absolutely correct. 3.5 years of this, and yet, still, in the ranks of the 12 disciples, there was doubt. Still, in the ranks of these people, there was unbelief. And so Jesus here says, I'm glad for your sakes. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that I didn't heal him just from the sickness, but rather that I'm going to resurrect him for you, that you might believe. That's incredible to me. I would think Jesus would say here, you fools, you idiots. How many things do I have to do to prove to you I'm Jesus Christ? I'm getting fed up with this. Won't you believe? No, Jesus says, I'm glad to show you again. I'm glad to show you how faithful I am. I'm glad to give you another sign of who I am and my power. It comforts me because I can have faith that falters. I can have unbelief in my heart. I can have doubt in my mind. And I think, oh God, you're so disappointed in me. I should be faithful by now. I shouldn't have unbelief. I'm asking you to show me again. Oh, you must be angry with me. No. God would say, no. I'm glad to be able to show you again. It's my privilege to resurrect this guy rather than just heal him so that you might believe. Matt, no problem. Let me show you again and again and again. I think it's like me with my girls. I take every opportunity I get to show off to my kids. They'll see something in the garage, something big and heavy. Daddy, can you lift this up? I look at him, are you kidding? Have you seen the size of these, sweetie? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I take every opportunity. Sometimes to my own demise. Like last summer. Joe Meyer, he goes here. He's a lawyer at the DA's office. He told me that we have this Doughboy swimming pool. He told me that you can dive through these little blow-up, you know, kids' toys, you know, the little floaties that they float around in. He said, you would not believe what you can dive through, these small little ones. And so last summer I started to try that. And they were progressively getting smaller, you know. I couldn't believe it. And then there was this one. It's this race car. It's for a little baby. It literally fit on my head. The hole is the size of my head. And so I'm thinking, wow, that's small. Well, the gauntlet was thrown down. Daddy, can you dive through that one? Are you kidding? And so if you're going to do it, you got to go for it. You got to really jump up high, and you just got to plunge right through it. And so I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. So I kind of push it out there a little ways, and I go for it. As high as I can jump, I jump, and I dive into it, and my arms make it through, and my head makes it through, and my chest makes it through, but then it gets stuck right on my belly. Should have given me a small hint about my calorie intake last year. And I'm stuck there. I'm kind of suspended, you know. Half of my head's underwater. My legs are up in the air. It was not pretty. And what's really bad is this. Imagine the momentum, you know. You're diving full force into something. You get stopped. And it just wrecked my back. I could barely drive for about a week. I was just, I blame it all on Joe Meyer. Joe, if you're in here, you're going to get my chiropractic bill. Punitive damages. You're a lawyer. You understand these things. We take every advantage as dads to show off to our kids. And I think that's a little bit like God. He says, I want to show off for you. In fact, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth, searching for those that he might show himself strong on their behalf. That's the Heavenly Father. Not, I got to show you again. No, it's like, Jesus, I'm so glad for your sakes that I wasn't there so that you can believe. I think of Gideon, shown sign after sign after sign. Angels that appeared, angels that disappeared into fire, food that disappeared, all these miracles. And then Gideon says, I don't know if I believe you, Lord. Tomorrow, I want you to do something for me. I'm going to put this sheepskin out there. And tomorrow morning, I want the sheepskin to be wet, and I want the ground to be dry. God says, okay. So the next morning, Gideon wakes up to the Sahara Desert and walks out there and wrings out Niagara Falls out of that fleece. Wow, that's impressive. God, sorry, one more time. Sorry, let's switch that around. The ground needs to be wet, and let's make the fleece dry. Can you do that, God? God said, are you kidding? Have you seen the size of these? I can do that. Next morning, Gideon puts on his hip waders and wades through the swamp and dries himself off with that fleece. He never got mad, never said, Gideon, how many miracles do I have to show? Gideon, come on. No. The eyes of the Lord are looking for people to show himself strong on their behalf. God delayed, Jesus delayed here so that the disciples might be strengthened. Those that were around, and sometimes God delays in our life so that those that are watching us, our family, our friends, the disciples, when they see God work in our lives, they are, wow, strengthened. Their belief is improved, is increased. Why does God delay? For a superior witness, for the secrets of Jesus to be revealed to you and to me, for strengthening of the disciples, for salvation of souls. Look at verse 45. It says in verse 45 that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Salvation of souls. This crowd, these people, they were there for one reason, not because Lazarus was sick, but because Lazarus was dead. They wouldn't have been there if Jesus hadn't delayed. They wouldn't have been around to see this miracle unless Lazarus died, unless Jesus delayed. And sometimes there are times God wants to wait in our lives, wants to delay, to do more, to bring salvation to those that are around us. He delays to do more. Not only in chapter 11 of John, but you see it in other places. I think of Joseph. Joseph had these dreams. Lord, I'm having these dreams where my brothers and my dad bow down to me. I'm to rule over this tribe, aren't I? This tribe of 75 people out in this desert, I'm to rule over this tribe. And then God delayed. God delayed for a long time. Joseph, it's not a tribe in a corner of a desert that I want you to rule over, but it's the most powerful empire in the world at that time. I want you to rule over Egypt. I delay because I want to do more, Joseph. I want to do more in your life through you. I think of all the promised children in the Bible. Parents that said, Lord, we want children. Give us sons. Give us daughters. And they waited and waited and waited and waited. Promised kids. But these promised kids were used hugely. Isaac, a promised kid, 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waited. Joseph, a promised kid. Samuel, a promised kid. Samson, John the Baptist. God delayed in all those kids because he said, I got to have them at the right time. And so I'm delaying to do more with them. And those parents, none of them are right now saying, oh, Lord, I wish you would have given me a kid before. No. Lord, you delayed to do more with my son. You delayed to do more with my daughter. You delayed to do more. Delays are always, I believe, to do more. God wants to do more with us. And the one thing you don't want to do, when you feel God's delaying on your prayer request, not saying no, not saying yes, but delaying, the one thing you don't want to do is to be impatient. You don't want to be impatient. Impatience is the worst thing you can do. Haste always leads to waste. When we get ahead of God, when we get out of the timing of God, haste always leads to waste. Here's the deal. God is never late, but we can be early. God is never late, but you, I, we can be early. And haste, when we are early, it will inevitably lead to waste. Look at Abraham. God said, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son with your wife, Sarah. But Abraham got hasty. And so he ended up with Hagar, his wife's handmaid. Ended up having a son named Ishmael, who then became the father of the Arab tribes. And to this day, 4,000 years later, we see the waste that is causing as Israeli and Arab fight against each other to this day. Abraham got hasty, ended up with Ishmael, led to waste. I look at Moses. Moses, Lord, you called me to be the leader of this people. I'm 37 years old. I'm ready to do it now. And so he got out there, got ready. Pushed his agenda. Lord, I'm ready. And he ended up killing a man, wasting a life, and being exiled to the desert for 40 years. Haste always leads to waste. What we're to do, the Bible says over and over and over again, is we are to wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait on the Lord. The book of Psalms, so many times, talks about those that wait on the Lord. If you wait on the Lord, He is going to be your salvation. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. It's good for a man to both quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to do that. Hebrews chapter 6 says, those that patiently endured obtained the promise. See, here's what waiting does to you and to me. God's never late, but we can be early. But when we wait on the Lord, we get our time schedule matched up with God's time schedule. And when those two come together, God's able to work. If we're in front of Him, it's going to lead to waste. If we're behind Him, we're missing out. But when we're in tune with him, in step with him, look out, world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means this, you pray. Lord, this is my request. And I'm going to keep praying about this. I'm going to keep coming to you because I know that your delay, by me praying to you, you're going to reveal more of yourself to me. I know by your delay that it can be used as a superior witness to those that are around me. I know that by your waiting, it can strengthen the disciples at Edgewater Christian Fellowship. I know that it can bring salvation to souls. So, Lord, I'm just going to keep praying to you on this issue. Keep coming back to you. That's what Peter would say, cast all your cares upon him. That word for cast there is what a fisherman would do. They would cast, pull up their net, no fish. You cast again, pull up your net, no fish. Cast again, no fish, pull up your net. It's a continual action. It's not, I cast the net and if there's no fish, I give up. No, it's a continual casting until there's fish in it. Lord, I'm going to keep waiting. I'm going to keep casting until there's a fish, until you start to answer, until you start to work. That's all that waiting is. And when we wait on the Lord, we get in step with him. We get in tune with him, and he can use us to a great degree. Haste leads to waste. Let us be a church, a fellowship, that says we're going to wait on the Lord. Whenever he moves, we'll move, not before. We don't want to get before him because it's going to lead to waste. We don't want to get behind him because we're going to miss out. But we want to be in tune with him, in step with him, because then, world, look out. There's going to be a great work. So if God is delaying in your life today, if you feel that there's been a delay in prayers you've prayed, single people, for a husband, for a wife, don't get hasty. If there's been delays in prayers for ministry, don't get hasty. If there's been delays in whatever it may be, healing, don't get hasty. God's timing is perfect for you. He's going to use it to strengthen the disciples, to bring salvation, to reveal secrets, to get a superior witness. Father, we do this morning pray that we would be a congregation that knows how to wait on you. The Lord, as we wait on you, that you would renew our strength, that you give us wings to soar over the issues that would pull us down and drag us out. That you enable us to run, Lord God, and not be weary, to walk and not faint. May this congregation be a congregation that waits upon the Lord. Enable us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have an issue that you feel God has delayed on, and you want prayer this morning, leadership is going to be up here, and we'll pray for you. For healing, if it's healing. For ministry, if it's ministry. For marriage, if it's whatever the issue may be. God's delaying, come up. Get prayer from us. It's our privilege. The rest of you, God bless you. You're dismissed. Who is this king?